Today I want to kick off the mentality of a different, I don't like to call them series, because when you call something a series, people kind of get lost in it. But I want to start a thought pattern. Now let me ask you, how many guys were here Wednesday night? How many guys have done your homework that we gave you Wednesday night? All right, let me ask you this. For those to be honest, and you can be honest, I want participation. If you haven't done your homework, raise your hand. Do you plan on doing your homework before this Wednesday night? All right, it's very important that you do. All right, I'm starting a midweek service, not series, but teaching that I felt like the Lord has really impressed on our heart to get us better in a lot of areas. And so I'm given homework on Wednesday night, so you need to do it. Because if you weren't here Wednesday night and you come this way, you'll be able to keep up or catch up this week. But do your homework, all right? Because I believe this. God has more. I've told you this. God has more for us than we're living. God has more for you. That's why the Bible says, I've come to give you life. But then it doesn't stop there. He says, and give you life more abundantly. That means more than you can handle, more than you want. More. God wants to give you more of a quality of life, of an ability of life. God wants you to be more. That's why he said this. He didn't just make you a winner. A lot of times we just think, God, if you can just help me win this battle. God did not just make you a winner, because you can win every battle and still be miserable. How many of you guys have met somebody that, you know, is very successful in life, but they're still miserable? I told this story Wednesday night. You know, probably the greatest example of this in our times is Robin Williams. Everybody know Robin Williams? How many of you guys like Robin Williams? You enjoy him and what? He is the biggest, to me, failure in this life that we've seen, although everyone loves him. He's loved around the world. And everything he did, he succeeded greatly in. You know, when he started in his acting career, he started in his goal, in his biography says this. He wanted to have the number one sitcom in America on TV. And when he was in his 20s, he's accomplished that. Now, this will tell everybody's age. Can you name it? Mork and Mindy. If you can name that show, it tells us how old you are. Because that's so old, it don't even play on Nick at Night no more. All right? But it was the number one successful sitcom in America on TV. And that was all from him. You would have took him out of the mix, you wouldn't have watched the show. Very successful. Set a goal, made it. So that wasn't enough. Once he accomplished that goal in his 20s, he decided that he didn't want to just do TV and stay on the small screen. He wanted to take it to the next level, so he started to make movies. He wanted to be a successful movie actor. And you know and I know, probably more movies made by one actor around that you can name names off of is probably Robin Williams. He starred in tons of movies, and almost every movie he starred in became a hit. Every movie he was in was successful. He didn't have flops. And that's amazing, because, see, his goal started with TV, he hit it. Then he wanted to be a successful movie actor, and he hit it. But after he became a success, when he died, there were still three movies that had not been released yet that he'd already filmed, and they had paid him up front because they knew they would be a success. Then he decided, you know what, being a actor in movies isn't enough. I want to set the bar higher. I'm not fulfilled. This hadn't done it. And so he set the bar. He said, I want to star in a movie, and I want to win an Oscar for a movie that I'm not funny in. A drama. Now, his gifting, his talent was funny. That's why we all laugh. He made us laugh. And he did it. He won an Oscar for starring in a movie without being funny. That's amazing. That is success. He had a beautiful family, all the money you could possibly want. I mean, he had everything in this life that the life would look at and say, "Success," and he still hung himself. It makes no sense to be a success and still be miserable. Because you got to understand something. Life is about more than just succeeding. That's why when the Bible says what he's made you, the Bible says he did make you a succeeder. He wants you to win. He wants you to succeed. That's why he says he's made you a conqueror, but he didn't just stop a conqueror. He put an adjective in front of that word, and that's what he said. You are more than a conqueror. So I'm telling you may be here this morning completely successful in everything you do, but you can still be completely successful in everything you do and be miserable and still be a failure. How heartbreaking was that? That the world lost probably one of the most talented movie stars and brain geniuses because success wasn't enough. I want you to know something. Success will never be enough for you. You were made to be more than successful. And when you understand that God has in you more than success, He also has fulfillment for you. He also has happiness for you, has joy for you. He has all of the things that you dream about in your life for you. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says He gives you the desires of your heart. Those dreams you have, they come from God. See, we think that scripture, we take it at the shallowest level. We read that scripture and say, oh, God wants me to have a bass boat. I want a bass boat. God's going to get, He said He's going to give me the desires of my heart. No, He gave you desires. He gave you the want. He gave you the want. Thing about it is, a lot of us don't understand what we need to do with those wants. And so we walk around through life with all these wants and all these desires, and we think they're a negative thing. The greatest thing God has ever given you is your dream, because your dream connects you to your destiny. If you follow your dreams, you'll be connected to your destiny. And a lot of people don't understand that they have a destiny to the point of this. You were created specifically for something. And when you create and find that thing, you become completely happy. And you're gifted and equipped with everything you need to accomplish that. He gives you the desires of your heart. He gave you the want for the thing. Thing about it is, the Bible says this. The Bible says that all of those wants you have, He wants more for you than you've ever even dreamed of. Because it says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or even entered into the thoughts of man, the things that God has in store for them that love Him. Amen. Meaning this, the biggest dream you've ever had, God dreams more for you. So here we have all this stuff. God wants this life that we want to live. God has it for us. But the truth of the matter is, we know tons of people that had the same, had desires and ambitions and goals, and they never accomplished them, and they're dead in the grave today. And we've got all these desires and dreams inside of us, and because maybe we've seen people in our families or close to us not accomplish theirs, we think these negative, these wants and things are negative on the inside of us. And so we've already reserved to the fact that we probably won't ever get or be able to accomplish most of what it is in life. So we get to this mellowed out, numb place that God never intended on us to live. Prime example of it is Abraham's dad. In the Bible, Abraham's dad, the Bible says that he wanted to go to Canaan in the book of Genesis. Says he, as a matter of fact, he even began to take the steps to go to Canaan. He got his family, he packed up everything he had, and he started going to Canaan. Terah started going to Canaan. It says, but when he got to Hebron, the Bible says he camped there, he settled there, and the Bible says next, he died there. Now, where did he want to go? To Canaan. Hebron's 500 miles short of Canaan. And the Bible says he got there, he got comfortable there, he pitched his tents there, he started making a living there, and he settled there. Anytime you choose to settle somewhere in life, you're choosing to die there. Because God has more for you. If you've gotten to a place where you're just settling, happy with where you are, I want you to know something. God has more for you there. And the Bible says that Terah, he did die there. But then came his son. And his son, the Bible says, that God told him to pack up your family, get out of your father's house, and go to Canaan. Now, where do you think God wanted Abraham born at? Canaan. Anything you leave undone, your children are going to have to try to do for you. You want to leave a legacy for your children, accomplish your destiny God's put you here for. It's not about money in a bank account. You leave your children at a place where you've accomplished your destiny and you put them in a place to succeed. You know, and so the Bible says Abraham had to get up and go to Canaan. And said, but in that journey that he went, Abraham was not a perfect man, had all kind of issues, all kind of situations, but because he was willing to go the whole way. Now, we don't call him just Abraham, we call him what? Father Abraham, the father of faith. We call him the one that started it all because he was willing to go. Now, I'm on Sunday mornings when I'm ministering, I'm going to be talking about several. I'm not calling suit. I want to talk about what it's going to take for you to get more. What's going to take for you to be more. What's going to take for God to use you more. So if I had to put a title on a series over the next couple Sundays, I would call it More. A life worth living would be another way to say it. How many guys want a life worth living? How many guys want a job worth going to? I mean, you know, there's so many areas in life the enemy wants you to settle. But I'm telling you, God's plan was never for you to have nothing but the best. Nothing but the best. So the first thing it takes, though, for you to get what God has available for you, and that is that unbelievable, amazing life that He wants you to live, is the first thing it takes is something on your part. Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys believe God is able to do whatever it is blocking you, keeping you, hindering you from accomplishing everything you know God has called you to do? How many of you guys believe God is able? All right. Now, the thing about it is this. We can all say that, and we can all know that. But until we believe that, it doesn't change. Pull up 2 Timothy 1:12, if you don't mind for me, Joe. It says this, "For this reason I also suffered these things." All right, so Paul's writing here. He says, you know, I've been through some bad things too, but there's a reason why I've went through these bad things. And, you know, it's not for a waste. It's not for... How many of you guys are facing something difficult right now? You would actually be able to say what you're facing has put you into a place of suffering. Are you suffering in any area of your life today? All right? Well, there's two reasons why people suffer. One, because they put themselves in the mess. Or two, the mess is getting ready to put you into God's place. Now, I understand in my life, there's a lot of times that I suffered because of stupid things I've done. And I know I'm not the only one, because I have good friends, and my good friends tell me a lot of things they got going on. And yeah, I'm not. We all have put ourselves in places where we suffer because of things we've done. But also, I know this, there are things that I've suffered in my life that were no due to my own. And usually the truth is, most of the things that I've suffered through, the hardest things that I've suffered through, or the biggest issues, or the battles, or the hurts and the things that I went, were no due to my own. They were someone had done to me, or circumstances had happened that way that I hadn't any control over. How many of you guys have those in your life? There's things that happen to you, and they're usually the worst things that you did. They weren't your fault. They happen to you, and they either happen to you from a family member, or they happen to you because of a situation or health issue. You know, you had nothing to do. It just happened. How could God let this happen? Paul said here, he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things." He says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Tell you what, any place you've ever suffered, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. You should not be ashamed. I tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. But if I'm ashamed of those mistakes, that means I'm still the same person I was when I was making those mistakes. But I want you to know something. God has changed me. He's changed me. I'm not who I used to be. How many of you guys are thankful you're not who you used to be? How many of you guys believe you're not who you used to be? Did God change you? Then there's no shame. There should be no shame in your life. Because the Bible says what the enemy has meant for harm, God will turn for good. You've got nothing to be ashamed. You're not the only one that has done it. You're not, you know, the best way to say it is when somebody tells me they, you know, there's me too. I'm just like it. I've done, you know, if you just knew everything, then you've got nothing to be ashamed of. I got to say, if you're in here today and you there's things in your life that you shouldn't have in your life, and you know you shouldn't have, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. Unless you walk out of here with those things still the same way they were when you walked in. Because God has made it available for your greatest mess to become your greatest ministry. For your greatest hurts to become your greatest heals. God has made it to where, you know, the things that the enemy has meant to discredit you, destroy you, cause you to not be someone that could be you, to disqualify you. God has made a plan, and his purpose is this. The things that would normally disqualify a person are the very things that qualify. I was talking to a pastor. I met a pastor a couple days ago. Right now, if a lot of people in the church are wondering what I'm doing, where I'm going, you know, because I've probably got 6 phone calls this week saying, "Are you leaving the church?" No, I'm not leaving the church. Am I out of town 3 days out of the week? Yes, I'm out of town 3 days out of the week. Jennifer and the girls, they are in Alabama. And so I talked about this on a Wednesday night. In Alabama, they're living, going to school, and those kind of things. And what I do is on Thursday night, I hold a church service. We are planting another campus, a Victory campus in Alabama. And I go back and forth 2 times a week. And so like today, we'll walk out of here and I'll leave. And I will be headed to Alabama at the end of the day. And I'll be there in the morning, drop my kids off at school. And then I got a meeting with the pastor in the morning. And Roger Smith and Amanda, they're already there. Joe and Barbara are going down with me today. And we're just going to see what God's doing down there. And I'm excited about it, but I want you to know this, I'm not leaving the church. So everybody, if somebody tells you, "Hey, Pastor Creasley," I'm not. This is my home. And somebody said, "How are you going to be able to do that?" I have no idea. I have no idea. As a matter of fact, when Roger got down there Friday, he sent me a text, says, "I don't know how you do it." I said, "You don't got the same reasons I have to go back and forth. Every time I get here, I want to be there with Jennifer and the girls, so I can't wait to head that way. And every time I get there, I can't wait to get back here to be in church with you guys, so I head back this way. And so you must not have the same reasons I have, because if you had a church like this here, and you had a wife and girls like that there, you wouldn't mind running that road every single night. And I just love what I'm doing and how I'm doing it." And so I'm excited about running back and forth, because I'm excited about this, what God's about to do. But saying all that to say this, I met a gentleman 3 days ago, and this way today we were talking. He's a pastor, and he was telling me that he pastors a church 3.5 hours away from his house. And I was at his house talking to him, and he's like, "You know, my wife thinks I'm crazy." He said, "Because every Sunday and Wednesday, I drive 3.5 hours one way to go to service with my church. I've been the pastor there for 35 years. I said, "That is so awesome." He made me feel about that high, because here I am in my 40s, and I'm driving, yes, 7 hours back and forth each way, but he's 87 years old, and he's doing it twice a week on Sundays and Wednesdays. How awesome is that? Saying all this, I'll be meeting with him tomorrow. And he just tickled me to death, because that's what he told me. I was sitting on his porch with him, just talking to him. And I say, he's one of those old-timey pastors. He's a black gentleman. And I say, he just got so much wisdom. He was sitting on his porch, and this is what he told me. He said, "You know, I sure am glad God don't pick stallions." And I said, "What?" And he said, "I sure am glad God don't pick stallions." He goes, "Because I don't know if I've ever been a stallion." He said, "But I've been a donkey most of my life." He said, "And when I read the Bible, that's what Jesus chooses to come in on." He said, "And so because of the position I'm in life, that means God can use me." I want you to know something. What has disqualified you in the past, when you put God on the back of it and put Him, it's not about the ride, it's the rider. And I sure am glad God don't use stallions, because I'd be disqualified. But because He uses donkeys, there's hope for me. And I'm telling you this, and I like to take it to the King James Version a whole nother step further down the road. In the King James, it says this: Jesus told His disciples to go to a certain place and they would find a wild, King James says, A-double-S. Aren't you glad God chooses wild A-double-S's? But you got to understand the way about the donkeys He uses. If you've ever been a wild double S, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the first thing Jesus told him to do was unbind him from the fence. You got to get free. God can't use you if you're not free. And so if you're here this morning, you qualify in that realm of being of a definition, get your hand, get God, get people. God sent His disciples to get involved in that guy's life to help him get free. And when that donkey got free, God was able to ride into a city, and people were able to celebrate Jesus changing everything in their lives. And so if you're here this morning and you're still one of those things, you're making the same decisions you've always made, you need to get free. And I'm telling you that you need to be here next Sunday night to go through the process of free indeed. Because I'm telling you, God can only use you to a certain extent as long as you're bound to that fence. But He's got a plan for you. So I say, you got nothing to be ashamed of. But it says this: "For I know whom I have believed, And I am persuaded. Now, what you got to understand is, and this is going to get weird and got into what we're talking about this moment, but we're about to. It says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Now, you can believe God can change your situation. You can believe God can fix it. You can believe and it not happen. I say that right, because until you're persuaded, I say it like that, you can know. You can't believe, but you can know. You can know that God is the answer. You can know God can set you free. You can know God can help. God's miracle working power can change anything. You can know all that and not get it. Until you're persuaded. Until you're persuaded, God is not able. You see it? He says, I believe and I am persuaded. You can know. Like I said a while ago, we raised our hands saying, I know God is able. You can know all day long. But until you're persuaded, God will not be able. So I'm going to talk the next couple weeks about how to take just knowing into being persuaded so that God will be able. Because I know this, it's never a God problem. You're not having a God problem. God is enough. God will do it. God can. If God can show, I love it because, see, we get ourselves in situations, a lot of time we think there's a God problem. I'm sure Daniel, when he landed in the lion's den, he thought, God has failed me now. God didn't fail Daniel. Not a single lion bit him one time. It's never a God problem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves staring at the fire, and I'm sure, because you can read it in their writings, they said this. They said, we're not going to bow, and if God doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. They were thinking, you know what? Maybe God's going to forget us, not see us, and we're still going to do what's right. And I appreciate that understanding, but you got to understand this. It's never a God problem. God did not let them even smell like smoke. They did not even look like what they'd been through. It's never a God problem. So whose problem is it? It's an our problem. God is able. I've got so many points to go through. I've got all the miracles in the Old Testament, all the miracles in the New Testament that God did. The Bible says He never changes. So if He was able to do them then, He's able to do them now. What you're facing is not that big. What you're going through, if He's changed anyone in the past, He can change you. You're not that big of an issue. You were made by Him. He knows everything about you. He knows everything. So you're not the biggest case He's ever dealt with. How many guys have been out this week killing Christians? With anything besides your tongue. We've been whipping a lot of them with our tongue. But Paul killed Christians and encountered God, and he still wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It's never a God problem. It's always an us problem. So my thing is this, I want to fix a me problem. So we're going to jump into this story because we're going to hit a couple points real quick. Hopefully we'll get through some things. Time went by so fast. All right. I want you to turn real quick to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. I'm going to read a story, and we're not going to have time to get into all this. But like I say, I'm taking several weeks to teach this one. It says, and when he came to the disciples, I'm going to just say you can underline, because we're going to revisit a lot of stuff, but I got to get to one point today. It says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes disputing with them. I love that first part of this because it says, when he came, he saw the multitude. I want you to know something. God sees you right now. God sees what you're going through. God sees your circumstance. God sees what's happening around you. God's got eyes and he uses them. And he don't just see you, he sees your struggle. Because it says he saw the great multitude and he saw them disputing with the scribes. He sees the people attacking you. He sees the issues you're dealing with. God sees all this stuff. You need to know that he's not uninvolved. He's very involved and he has a full understanding. He sees, the Bible says. It says, and immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed. What you got to understand is this. It wasn't a God problem right there. They were in the middle of their issue, in the middle of their battle. They were fighting with the scribes, and the Bible says God saw them doing it, but then what you got to realize is it wasn't until they saw him that they were amazed. It's never a God problem. It's always an us problem. If they would have seen Jesus in the first place, they would have been amazed before the battle ever started. But it wasn't until they were in the middle of this argument, in the middle of this battle, that they saw Jesus. That's the way it happens to me a lot of times. I get into a situation and all of a sudden I look around and I see nothing but the battle I'm fighting. And until I stop, take a minute and try to find God in it, I don't see God in it. I need you to know something. God was in it when you started, and I'm trying to move myself to a place that I don't have to get to a place where I have to see him. I can just know he's in it. But it says, when they saw him, they were greatly amazed. Let's go through a few more. We're going to get to one point. It says this, and the people were so greatly amazed and started running to greet him. Now, like I said, we don't got time to get on this, but this way, they started running to meet him. The number one step you have to take for things to begin to change in your life, you have to get engaged. You have to get engaged. Problem is, most of us don't know how to engage anymore. We're sitting in here today and we're having marital issues. I've never seen anybody, a husband married to a woman, and they having marital issues when he was completely engaged in the relationship. I've never seen a father that was unhappy being a father that was completely engaged in his kids' lives. Never seen a wife unhappy being married when she was completely engaged in the marriage. I've never seen a church member, I'm telling you, unhappy with their church that was completely engaged in their church. I've never seen anyone unhappy with their relationship with the Lord that was completely engaged in their relationship and their spiritual walk. First step you got to do is you got to get engaged. The Bible says they saw him and they started running to him. The reason why you're feeling unhappiness and frustration in a lot of areas in your life is that one single point. You're not engaged. Problem is, most of us don't know what, how, or to do to get engaged. What engagement is anything you put effort toward in time and energy and thought after. Anything you're thinking about on a constant basis, anything you're putting effort in. Tell you, I've never seen a marriage fall apart where both partners were in the marriage trying to make it better. Never seen that. I've seen a lot of marriages fall apart where one was and one wasn't. But when I've seen a marriage where everyone, never seen a church not grow when everyone in the church was engaged. Never seen, you know what I'm saying, steps not being taken forward. We must be engaged. That what that means is this. We have to start putting thought, energy, and action into what it is that is frustrating you so much. Here they are in the middle of this argument. When they saw Jesus, they knew he was there, and they started running after him. They put action to their step, to their life. They didn't wait for him to get there. Do you understand that? They did not wait for him to get there. They got engaged. They started making moves toward the direction. We're not going to preach on engagement this morning, but we will revisit that. I want to get to this one part. And it says, they started running to him and greeted him and asked his scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who was a mute. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. I want you to know something. If you want somebody else to fix your issue, you're not going to be able to. That's not going to happen. You have to take responsibility for your issues. You have to take responsibility. There's no preacher, there's no teacher, there's no husband, there's no wife, there's no children, that can fix your problem. Until, number one, you engage in your circumstance. Number two, you take full responsibility. Any area of your life that is broken, any area of your life frustrated, any area, it is your responsibility, and it is not anyone else's fault. Because whatever you tolerate, you will have. Whatever you tolerate, well, you understand, Chris, you know, he does this, he does. Quit tolerating it. You say, well, how do I tolerate it? Raise the standard. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise the standard. God's already raised the standard. Say, hey, live like this. He's waiting on you to start living like that. Raise the standard. We got to get to this one part. He says, they couldn't do it. He answered them saying, oh, faithful generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear you? Bring him to me. They brought him to me. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed in him. And he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has it been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Underline your childhood right there. Very important. We're going to visit this a lot. From childhood. Don't you understand everything going on in your life that you're struggling and battling with started when you were a child? I'll explain that to you in just a second, but it started at childhood. This family's been dealing with this issue since childhood. Said this, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. In other words, a lot of times he got to the point where he was ready to give up, quit, so he would take drastic measures to stop the suffering. Said this, it says, but if you can do anything, everybody say, God can do anything. He said, but if you can do anything, I want you to know something. Whatever it is you're dealing with, God can do it. He said, can you do anything? God can do anything. He said, Cricket, my finances are broke. God can do anything. Cricket, I'm bound. Had this addiction. God can set you up. God can do anything. There's nothing God cannot do. God can do anything. He said this, have compassion on us and help us. I want you to know something. God does have compassion on you, because all the way through the New Testament, especially in the book of John, it says, and Jesus was moved with compassion. What that says is this, God cares. God cares. He does care what you're going through. It breaks his heart. It's heavy on him. He cannot stand to see you suffer. It breaks his heart, and he can do anything. He says, will you help us? God will help you. But look where the problem came in at. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him to believe. This is what we're trying to get. We got 4 minutes. Let me ask you a question. It says, if you can believe. The problem with it is, see, the way he said that wording is very interesting. He says, if you can. Now, if you're an English person, which I'm not, Sister Thelma, Brother Donald's wife, was my English teacher in high school. And we would always, his Brother Donald's son was one of my best friends and my roommate in college, and we, you know, got in trouble by Miss Thelma a whole lot. But this is one of the things she used to get on to me all the time for. We would say, Miss Thelma, can we go to the bathroom? And she would say, I don't know, can you? And every time she would say that, she put this on, can means you have the ability. But you got to understand things. Jesus said, if you can believe. That means this, there are people that can't. If there are people that can, then there are people that can't. The reason why God can't do a lot of things in our life is not because there's a God problem, there's a us problem. There's a problem with our believing. The reason why we have what we have and we are where we are in life, and everything you own is what you own, and everything you is because there is a belief platform in your life that you live on. And the belief platform that you live on is the only thing that allows you to get to this level or the level that you're at. Everything and every position in every area of your life is where it is because of your belief system. If you want something to change in your life, you have to change the way you believe in that area. Do you know why certain people are physically the way they are? Because of the belief system they have about the importance or the effort or the ability to have about the physical condition of their life. You find somebody that's overweight, and you'll find somebody with the belief system, and they will know they should eat healthy, but they don't believe they have to. Or it would show up. Anything in your life that is a belief system, you live. And the thing about it is, if there's anything in your life not right, it's because you have a wrong belief system. And Jesus looked at his people here and he said to these people, he said, the reason why you're having this issue is not because there's a God problem, there's a you problem. There's a belief system here that's wrong. But if you can believe, if you will get the ability to believe right in the areas. Well, let me explain this. There's a lot of different ways to believe. You can be a person that has built a platform of disbelief in your life. Let me tell you where your belief systems came from. The same story where this problem came from. All of your belief systems were usually established before you were 5 years old. Most of your belief systems have been built when you were a child. Because of hurt, because of lack, because of circumstances, because of actions, because of situations that happened to you when you were a child, your brain built a belief system into those areas. And the thing about it is, a lot of us have never done anything to change our belief systems. in those areas. So what happens is this, we keep living out since childhood the same beliefs over and over again. The truth of the matter is a lot of them are disbeliefs. You say, well, Cricket, how can I have 7 more minutes of y'all's time today? Because I got to show you. I got to show you this area because we're fixing to challenge some things in your life that will change your entire life. Jesus said, if you can believe, wonder if you can only believe. Think about it. A lot of we can't believe because the reason why we can't believe is because the space in our brains or the space in our minds that we should believe in, that should have the right belief in it, is full of something that shouldn't be there. Something that somebody's done to us or something that's happened to us. See, a lot of us are trying to go forward in life driving with the rearview mirror. Everyone, and can you get to a certain, yeah, you can get there, but why is it taking you so long to get there? Because it's hard to drive looking backwards. And I guarantee you, you've hit a few things on the way that have left some damage in your life. You cannot allow what's happened to you in the past to determine what your belief system is for the future. What's done to you in the past does not equal, if it was a math equation, past does not equal future. Because of this, now where you are and who you are, you have gotten yourself to a place, because you're even in here today, that God can change your future and make it different from your past. But what happens is this, I can tell you this, I can tell you people, I can tell you areas in your life that you have the wrong belief system in, because it will be attached to feelings. Beliefs always has feelings attached to them. The way you feel about things is the way you believe about things. You can know it completely different. Now let me ask you this by the show of hands, and you'd be totally honest with me. How many of you guys kind of get a churn in your spirit or in your stomach? Or in the past it's happened to you, maybe not now, you may be growing. When somebody in church or when you're flipping through the Christian channels and you hear somebody mention money, it's like a turnoff. How many of you guys that happens to? Raise your hand. Honestly. Now let me ask you this. People that just raised their hand, let me ask you, do you not believe the Bible where it says that we are to bring our tithes to the church? Can you raise, do you know the Bible says that? The Bible says it, that we are to tithe. All right, but still yet, you when you feel that happen, what is the disconnect here? There is a, may not be a disbelief there. You might have a wrong belief there. Money's usually always attached to one, because when you were a child, I'm not preaching, I'm just bringing this up to a point. When you were a child, your family taught you everything you know about money. I can tell you this. How many of you guys, especially if you grew up in church, better grow up in church, how many of you guys have been taught that money's the root of all evil? And so what happens is, we've been taught that growing up because it's in the Bible. No, that's not what the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what's wrong, because I guarantee you, the reason why you know that it's not to be money, the root of all evil, is not true, because no matter how many times I've passed that offering plate around, you're probably not going to put any more in. But if it was evil, you'd want to get away from you, right? Correct? So there is a wrong belief system built because it has a feeling attached to it. Now let me say money, because usually that's one everyone can connect with. Every area of your life has this connection. Everything in your life is built upon a belief system. And the reason why God can't do certain things in our lives and certain areas in our lives is because of this. We have the wrong belief system attached to it. And because we have the wrong belief system attached to it, God can't do anything. It's not a God problem, it's a belief problem. Because Jesus said that if you can believe, meaning there are people that don't have the ability to believe in those areas. And my problem is this. If God has it for me and my belief systems are wrong, what do I do? Because the truth of the matter is, all of your belief systems, let me ask you this. How many of you guys would honestly say, I have a trust issue? I have a hard time trusting men, or I have a hard time trusting women, or I have a... The reason why that is because when you were a child or since childhood, someone in that area has hurt you in a way. And so you have a hard time trusting, because your belief system now is turned to what has happened in your past is greatly affecting what direction you're going in the future. So anytime you get to a place where I want you to know something. There are a lot of people out there you can trust. And what happens is a lot of people, we miss out on their trust because of what's happened to us in our rearview mirror. Then what happens is when we go to give an opportunity to trust somebody that deserves it, can even God. You can trust God, but some of us can't because what somebody's done in our past. And we get these emotions and these feelings, and it causes us to stay where we're at. I love this. I want to read this because this is what we're going to go after. It says this. It says, and there it says, if you can believe, it says God can do that. And this is what that man said. He says, Lord, I believe. And then this is what he says. Help my unbelief. Meaning that he knew God could do it. He was trying to make a conscious effort to try to believe God did. But think about it, he knew there were areas in his life that because there was unbelief or misbelief or wrong belief, or let me say limiting beliefs in their life. Let me tell you, you know why you're not any farther in life than you are? Because you have limiting beliefs. Best example of that is this. How many of you guys have been to a circus before and you've seen an elephant, a big elephant, sitting next to a little stake drove in the ground with a chain around its leg? You've seen that? How is that even possible? There's enough power in that elephant to rip out that stake and tear that whole tent down. Reason why he doesn't do that, because when he was a child, he was chained to a stake that he could not pull out. And after he pulled against that stake long enough, he finally gave in and built a belief system. If I'm tied to this stake, I can't get free. There's some people that have been tied to the same addiction for so long. You've been struggling, trying to get free from it. It's come to a point where you can't get free. You've decided you can't get free, so you just got to live not free. I want you to know something. God has come to set you free, the Bible says. How many of you guys have ever heard the story of the flea circus? It's a true experience. They did an experiment. Scientists, they took fleas that had the ability to jump 2.5 to 3 feet high off the ground. And they put them inside of a contained environment. And they put a lid on that environment. And what would happen is them fleas would jump, and they would lower that environment just a couple inches at a time. And then fleas would jump, and they would hit that ceiling. And when they would hit that ceiling, they would, because it caused pain or because it caused discomfort, when they hit that ceiling, they would lower their jump just a little bit, and then they wouldn't jump and hit that ceiling. So then the scientists would lower the ceiling a little bit more. They would hit their head, and then they'd quit jumping that high. Lord, got to the point where they could get them to where they'd jump less than 3 inches, and they removed the lid. And every one of them fleas stayed within there, even though they had the ability to jump. But because they've allowed things have happened that caused them to have pain or suffering or discomfort or disappointment, what happened now is this. It has limited their life. Although they had the ability, they can't do it anymore. Some of us are suffering from disbeliefs. Wrong beliefs. You can have wrong beliefs. And they feel so real. Can we have fun just for a second? We'll close like this, and we're just going to close out quick. Can I have a volunteer? Where's Yvette? Brother Yvette? Jerry, can y'all help me real quick? I need to show you how real a wrong belief can be. I got anybody? Let me see. I need a volunteer that I can have fun with. Poe, you'd be a good one. Can I borrow Poe? Give him a big hand clap. Tell you what, we're going to take just a minute. We're going to take two. Let's take Poe, and we'll take, I need somebody brave, strong, somebody dramatic. Who's the most dramatic person you know? Anybody know anybody dramatic? Susan, would you do that? Susan, do it. Susan, what I'm going to ask you to do, Susan, is I'm going to ask you to walk right outside that door. All right, and don't look. All right, don't peek in. You're going to be number two. Poe, we'll fix that. Just a couple minutes of fun. Because you need to see how wrong beliefs are established. Because I want you to know something. The reason why God's not doing it right now in your life, because we can't believe. You say, Cricket, I do believe. You can't believe it until you can feel it. You need to understand that. It's not a belief till you feel it. All right, lay that right across there. Poe, you're about to take an airplane ride. Do you like airplanes? Do you like heights? As tall as you are, don't lie. Well, this is called the Victory Airline Express. All right, we're going to take you on a flight, okay? So you step right up on our airplane here. All right, now get comfortable. Be careful, I don't want you to fall. Now, also think about this is a faith airline. And so what I'm going to do is I got to have you use your faith. So that means I have to blindfold you. All right? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to blindfold you. All right. Can you see? No? All right. Because it's very important that you can't see. You could end up hurt if you could see. Okay? All right, what I'm going to do now is this. I'm going to put your hands on the seat in front of you. And in just a second, we're going to take off. Are you ready? And when we get ready to take off, I'm going to count to three. We're going to take off. And what I want you to do is I want you to be as careful as you. Don't panic. Don't freak out because I don't want anybody to get hurt. All right? But you just listen to me. I'm your captain. If I'll tell you what to do when you need to do it. If you can do what I say, you'll end up out of this safe. All right? Okay, here we go. On your marks. One, two, three. Here we go. All right, you're doing good, Poe. You do it. No, no, you got to stand straight up. Stand straight up. Well, don't hit his head, guys. Don't hit his head. All right, Poe, you're doing fantastic. Man, everything's going really good. How are you feeling? You're fine? All right, well, everything's good, but we're having some issues. What I need you to do at this moment, though, is because we're looking at it, I need you to jump out of the plane.
Yeah.
Right now. Can you jump out of the plane? Good job. Give him a big hand clap. All right, pull it off real quick. Now, stand right over there real quick. Don't say a word. Send Miss Susan. Miss Susan, are you in there? Hurry, hurry, come on. Hurry, hurry. I got to show you how beliefs are built, because think about it, the reason why God don't have the ability, because he's got the ability, but the reason why he don't have the ability is not a God problem, it's an us problem. It's our belief systems through our experiences. All right, I'm going to have you step up on the airplane. You like to fly? Can I take your glasses off?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I don't want to. Oh, it's been done. Okay, then never mind. It won't work for you. Then we're done with that. Poe, tell me. Tell me, Poe, what did it feel like?
Like I was up in there.
Felt like you were in a dangerous situation?
Yeah.
Yep. And if you would not have known me, right, if it would have been maybe somebody else, would you have believed him? Would you have jumped because of the feelings that you were having?
Probably not.
He know I wasn't going to put myself in a place to get sued. That's why he knows me. Think about it. It felt real. It felt real. And the thing about it is, because it felt that way, he believed he was way up in the air. Right? Did you believe you were in there?
Yeah.
Feeling my, and the thing about it, that's how beliefs are. Give him a big hand clap. That's how beliefs are built. Because you've been through something in your past, and because of the pain or the feelings it brought about you when you went through them. There were some people in here who have gone through tough things and you felt like you were all alone. So now you have a belief system that God has left you all alone. And when you go through something else, because you were alone last time, you're alone this time. Some of us had the misbelief system that God failed us or let us down back then. And if he would allow that kind of stuff to happen to me then, he's going to allow it to happen to me again now. So I'm going to have to protect myself because God won't protect me. I don't know what it, but you can look back in your life and there's always, any belief system you have is connected to a time when you were either a child or you were growing up since then that you felt a negative way. And when you felt a negative way, you built a disbelief. And when you build a disbelief, what it does is it limits God from able to do what God wants to do in your life. The Bible said this, Jesus, I can do anything if you can only believe. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to go through the steps of how to change every belief that the enemy has laid in our path to try to change what God can do in our future. How many of you guys here tonight or this morning, bow your head, close your eyes, you'll start with some music, I'm about to dismiss. You'll say, Cricket, I've got some areas in my life that I know because of what's happened in my past, my belief systems have been changed. I know what God says, I know who God is, but I also know this, I know how I feel about areas. Every time I try to take a step forward in faith, it's like I can't because I have a limiting belief. Do we got to mute? There we go. Turn up for me. I want to take a chance and an opportunity right now. I want to pray with you about those areas. I want you to know every single person in here has them. We all have areas of disbelief, misbelief, unbelief, or wrong beliefs and limiting beliefs in our life. But the good news is this. The Bible says that the Word of God is the truth and it has the power to change. And it can separate disbelief from belief. It has the power. The Bible says the Word of God, when it was spoken, it created in the very beginning. I want you to know something. Over the next couple of weeks, when the Word of God is spoken, it will create in you new beliefs. Because if you can believe God for anything, God will do it. I want you to know something. There's a lot of areas in your life right now that you know God's unhappy with you with, and it's not because there's a God problem, it's a belief problem. This is what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you can't believe right in that area, you know you're not right with God in that area. It's a belief problem. God can do anything. There's nothing wrong with you. You've not been too bad. You've not been through too much. You're not too old. You're not too weak. God can do anything in your life if you can only believe. And He has nothing but good things planned for you. So I've set a goal in my life. I'm going to hunt, locate, and find every wrong belief that I have that I can find. And I'm going to get the Word of God involved in that situation to change my belief system so that it will allow God to do what I know God wants to do for me and my family. I wish I could make that decision for you, but I can't. You have to make that decision. I want to ask you right now, if you say, Cricket, I know I got limiting beliefs, unbeliefs, misbeliefs, doubts, and I want God to expose them, and I want God to change them. Would you simply raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you right now, and I'm going to dismiss. I want to pray with you. Now, let me say this. The Lord told me that there would be 100 salvations come through the Victory Church before the end of the year. Last Sunday morning, we had 7 people at the Camden campus walk the aisle to give their heart to the Lord for the first time. Man, I'm telling you, I can believe God to reach 100 people. Now we only have 93 left. If you're here this morning, you came and you're not right with God, it wasn't by chance. We've been praying for you. We've been praying that every week God would send you to this church and it would be the day of your salvation. Now, if we'd had time, that other scripture that says this, Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto that. The word said day. It was a capital D. How many of you guys remember and saw that? Capital D, day. What day is that? That's today. Today is your day. If you're not right with God, real quick, the best decision you'll ever make is get right with God. If you say, Cricket, I need to get right with God, raise your hand real fast. I got to get out of here, guys. I know we're going. Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. And you're not right with God, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Okay, you can put your hand down. I saw 5 hands. I want to pray with you. Let's pray with them first. Say, Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for anything that has come between me and you. God, I ask you to erase with the blood of Jesus that you shed for my sin everything that would keep me from having right standing with you. God, I confess you as my Lord. I believe you died and rose again for me. And right now, I ask you to be in control of my life. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give those 5 a big hand clap. Now let's go this. If you got a limiting belief, let me pray. Father God, I pray right now over everybody in here that is their hand raised saying, God, I want you to expose the wrong beliefs in me that are holding me back, that are limiting me, that are keeping me from going into the life and destiny and plan that you have for me. I ask you to begin to reveal it to me and expose it to me, Father God, and to show me, oh Lord, what I should believe in that area. I thank you over the next couple weeks that as we begin to walk toward getting the right beliefs, God, I thank you that you're going to open up doors that you've been desiring and longing to open in our lives for a long time. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, guys, God bless you. I'm sorry we went long. You're dismissed. Enjoy your Sunday. Tonight, Pastor Leo will be preaching at 5:00.